to The Ripcord Moment, a podcast focused on empowering owners to achieve their perfect landing, their perfect exit. For most owners, the majority of their net worth is tied up in their business. Yet many owners struggle to create a plan that maximizes the value of their business with their personal goals and personal financial plan. Joe Cetu is the host of The Ripcord Moment. He is a partner and senior VP with Morton Capital, an independent wealth management firm responsible for $2 billion in assets. As a trusted advisor for over 20 years, he guides owners through the exit planning process by leveraging his unique skill set as a chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner, and certified exit planning advisor. Now here's Joe with The Ripcord Moment.
Business owners are today's American heroes. They innovate, they create jobs, they believe they can create a better future for their families and our country. So much attention is given to the start of the business, the idea, the technology, the fundraising, yet much less to the exit, as if it will magically take care of itself. When they do go to exit the business, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. There is no do-over. Yet we see so many owners are ill-prepared to make this jump. This podcast is focused on learning from those entrepreneurs and team of advisors who have made the jump and sharing their best ideas with you. So when you're ready for your ripcord moment, you can execute and hit your perfect landing. Welcome to the Ripcord Moment. I'm your host, Joe Cetu. Today, I'm joined by Alec Eichhardt, owner and president of BDV Inspections and BDV Capital Group. Alec is not only a commercial real estate entrepreneur, an ultra marathon runner, and a mountaineer. Alec, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Joe. Always appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you've got a really interesting background, collegiate athlete, you're doing all these crazy things, and you're also a business owner. Tell us a little bit about how you made the transition from collegiate athlete into becoming an entrepreneur.
Yeah, so grew up in both an entrepreneurial and very athletic household. Every guy in our family has been fortunate enough to play Division I football, and my mom was quite athletic as well. And both my parents have had numerous companies over many years in different industries. So growing up, I mean, that was simply the way of life. It was a hard focus on athletics and trying to make it to the highest level possible. At the same time, learning from my parents in the entrepreneurial scope and, you know, being around a variety of different businesses at different times. So all that was super good, and I was fortunate enough to make it to the University of Oregon, playing football and running track there. Super great time to be there. I had originally gone to a smaller school at first, Taylor University, played football, ran track, and then transferred to Oregon with football as the core focus, and was there in 2014. So the year that I was there was, you know, very exciting time and a great group of guys and program to be a part of. Got to experience the Pac-12 championship, the Rose Bowl, national championship, all things where, you know, I think for someone who was incredibly athletically focused, you know, no complaints whatsoever. Unfortunately, at the same time, my dad had gotten diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and that was back in 2014. So at the end of the 2015 season, decided to come back home, help out with the family, you know, get involved in the family business level, but at the same time, just obviously spend family time. And unfortunately, he passed in 2016, which was ultimately my major transition from leaving the athletic scope for the time being behind and transitioning fully into the now entrepreneurial business world and trying to make sense of everything that has now come.
So walk us through what that must have been like. You had your own dreams, your own ambitions, and all of a sudden you have to do a complete 180, right? You're dealing with the loss of your father. You're jumping into a business that, you know, probably you knew a little bit about, but getting into the weeds on it. How were you able to deal with all of this uncertainty at such a young age?
Yeah, it wasn't easy. I think for one, you know, I'm super grateful and fortunate that we have a super close family. And I mean, we relied on that heavily through those tough times. And so, I mean, there was a lot going on, of course, like both my mom and I inherited the family company at the same time. I was 22 years old and, you know, with minimal business, formal business background and no college degree, and thrown into a business that was totally immersed into the banking and lending landscape and trying to make sense of the commercial real estate world really quickly, while obviously still trying to figure out my own personal path, which is kind of, you know, maybe jumping ahead why I left the traditional sports and got super intrigued and drawn to mountain climbing and ultra running and things like that. But yeah, I mean, it was a time of major introspection and seeking mentors and trying to learn as much as possible and just surround myself with great people and, you know, take the best steps looking forward.
You know, and if you could, we always talk about how owners, you know, 50% of them ultimately exit the business not on their own terms and conditions due to divorce, distress, disagreement, disability, or, and you know, in your case, unfortunately, an untimely death. If you could sort of rewind time and you know, sit your dad down and say, hey, Dad, these are the three or four things I wish we would have done ahead of time so that that transition would have been easier, what would some of those things be?
It's a great question. For one, the number one thing that stands out, and this is taken from the E-Myth, so credit goes to Michael Gerber here, but you know, to build the business as if it's a prototype for many others just like it. And I think the core takeaway here is to make sure there's transferable, repeatable systems and processes built into the business's operations so that one day, inevitably, when the business owner, especially the founder, is not a part of the business in a very intimate way, the business can still run the same, if not far better, as it did when obviously the core original leadership team was still involved. So I would encourage those systems and processes to be built in from day one and perpetually as the business continues to grow. And two, I would highly encourage, you know, firms and business owners especially to find, acquire, and properly incentivize top talent, because again, you know, you need very talented people to run those efficient, hopefully efficient and effective systems and processes far past, you know, the business owner's involvement. So those are the two things that stand out.
Those are great takeaways. So you've got obviously leadership and your human capital element of your business, which you touched on, incentivizing the managers and the leadership as well, transferring risk or sort of what we call tribal knowledge, right, which is inside the owner's head, to the other team members around, so that it's you got diversification of knowledge there, and structural processes and structural implementation to ensure longevity of the business. Let's pivot just for a second, if we can, Alec, to from a personal planning standpoint, what are some of the things maybe you and your mom and the family perhaps did or wish you had done ahead of, again, your father's untimely death to make the transition much easier? Things like estate planning, cash flow planning. Had you guys done any of that as an entrepreneurial family?
Not as much as we should have, in full transparency. And, you know, I think maybe a lot of other entrepreneurial families would resonate with this. And that's, you know, a lot of family companies are built as, let's say, a means to just the family's lifestyle and, you know, looking forward. And I think instead, I would encourage, again, a lot of business owners and especially family companies to be building themselves in a way where they can see, or at least they're planning to grow substantially. And therefore, they need to rely on, again, systems, processes, and people that aren't within the family. So maybe another way to, yeah, go for it, Joe.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, why do you think that that is? I mean, now having seen it from sort of both sides of the coin, why do you think most owners don't get around to doing it?
That's a super great question. I'm not even sure if I have the answer there. I can speak from personal experience. And again, just our family, I mean, I think 9 different companies over the last 30 years, and at least over half of them, you know, had done considerably well, and, you know, operated for anywhere between 5 to 7 years at a time. And I think there's so many factors that just go into running a family company. And I think, again, when it's just the family that's involved, maybe this is the core takeaway here, is when it's just the family that's involved, it's easy to get caught up in, you know, whether the business is, especially when the times are doing well, to just ride that out. Where instead, I would say, again, encourage business owners to go down the mental path of, or better yet, build their company as if they're not going to be there in the near future. Whether that or not that's the reality, I mean, it's forcing them to then think about building the infrastructure and the foundation so that one day, family or not, again, the business can still successfully operate and continue to scale, hopefully.
Well, it sounds like you're talking about two things that we maybe we could touch on. One is sort of contingency planning, right? If the owner is not able to run the business, but then also it sounded like you touched on strategic planning as well. Walk us through what you're doing from a strategic planning point of view now for your firm.
Yeah, well, first off, I mean, and not to be, again, morbid in any way, but I mean, evaluating absolutely all potential cases and situations, scenarios, whether it's good, I mean, the best case, the worst case, and everything in between. Because again, by going down that, I guess, by doing this analysis, it's allowing us to plan accordingly and make sure that the firm itself and both of our core divisions is being built in a way where just the odds for sustainable success are the highest.
Wonderful. You know, we're going to pause for just a moment for a brief word from our sponsor. As a part of our commitment to empowering business owners, we've partnered with sponsors that make this podcast possible. We've asked them to share a little bit about their ripcord moment and how they're helping owners hit their perfect landing.
Morton Capital is a wealth advisory firm with the goal of helping families get the most life out of their wealth. We believe the most successful clients are those that have identified what is most important: family, travel, financial freedom, or protecting their nest egg. We then build a strategy that results in them spending more time doing the things they love. This is also our goal for our firm and our team. We are business owners ourselves and have experienced the ripcord moment twice, once in 2006 and then again in 2013. The first landing ended up a little too bureaucratic, with a lack of flexibility in how we ran our business and served our clients. The second transaction was much more successful because we focused on the things we valued: independence, opportunity, control, and the ability to run a business where people truly love coming to work. Our team today is stronger than ever, and our people are empowered to build strategic, innovative, and thoughtful plans that allow our clients to get more life out of their wealth.
And we're back again with Alec Eichhardt. Alec, we're talking a little bit about strategic planning, contingency planning. Let's shift the conversation a little bit to the more personal side, which is you're an extreme athlete. You're into running 100-mile marathons. Talk to us a little bit about where that passion came from, what you've learned through that process, and how you apply it to your businesses.
Sure. First, I'll say I'm not at the 100-mile mark yet, but we're definitely eagerly running towards that. I've been fortunate enough to run a couple of ultra marathons now, and I'm just totally hooked by it. And I think there's just, I mean, such invaluable experiences and lessons learned to be taken away from these experiences. But to backtrack a bit, at the time of the transition, back in 2016, dad passing and leaving sports for the foreseeable future, at least traditional sports, I just got super called to, you know, getting out of the comfort zone and trying to seek something, I guess, greater than myself and immersing myself into new, rather uncomfortable environments. And so I got very intrigued by both mountain climbing and ultra running. A buddy and I, we launched a documentary project where we're climbing the highest point of all 50 states in America, and we're 44 states done after, I think, 3 years.
So real quick, I'm fascinated by that. But then my mind immediately goes to, because you're from the Midwest, Chicago, and I'm thinking, okay, like Illinois or Iowa or Nebraska, like what's the highest point in some of these states?
It's not high, that's for sure. I mean, the West Coast has it all, at least high peaks, to say the least. But yeah, Illinois, I think it's Charles Mound in the northwest corner. It's, I believe, 1,300 feet high. So you're not going to get anything substantial Midwest, East Coast, a couple of them up in the Northeast. But yeah, it's... I mean, we did not have the outdoor experience heading into this. So again, like this project was originated with the full intent that it would be uncomfortable in many regards. And there hasn't been, quite frankly, any summit or mountaintops that have had pleasant weather yet. But overall, it's just been incredible to go through this process and learn along the way and meet amazing people and get further involved in outdoor community. So man, there's so much to be said on that front, but really grateful for the experience so far. And then the ultra running side, a buddy and I, we both got into it at the same time. For those that are familiar with Goggins' material, you know, he was a big inspiration to say the least. And
you're talking again, about David Goggins, correct?
Yep, David Goggins and his incredible story. And just really solid inspiration, both from people like Goggins that I've come across and also my personal story. And knowing that, I mean, I think someone will learn a lot about life if you go wander the desert for 100 miles. Push your body for that, you know, what seemingly seems to be over 24 hours and whatnot.
Well, I love this concept of getting outside of your comfort zone, right? I mean, we all live in a bubble, our comfort zone. And But oftentimes the things that we want are outside of that bubble, that zone, right? And it's only by growing through that and past that, we're able to grow as individuals, grow as business owners, and grow, you know, in so many different respects and increase the size of that bubble. What specifically have you found? Give us one or two things that through this process that you've been able to apply in your role as a business owner and entrepreneur.
Yeah, running a business, I've learned over the last few years, and I still have so much more to learn, but it's not easy. It's not probably as glamorous as it's often made out to be. And so, I mean, the one thing that I've largely taken away from climbing mountains and running far races and maybe extreme environments is very much to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because on the other side of discomfort is a great opportunity to grow. And, you know, oftentimes what it is that maybe scares us or intimidates us or makes us anxious, I think is a wonderful opportunity and sign that we need to go right ahead towards that and, you know, just immerse ourselves in the experience and see what we can take away from it. So I would say the parallels between getting out of the comfort zone and seeking discomfort in a sense, or at least being open to it and welcoming it and moving forward always. That's a wonderful, those are wonderful principles to be then applied to running a business in its many regards, because naturally a business owner wears so many different hats, from sales and marketing, operations, management, finance, accounting, everything in between, that a lot of times, I mean, naturally, I haven't run into many people in this lifetime that are incredibly gifted at every single one of those hats. And so those are wonderful reasons, or that's a wonderful encouragement to not only delegate, but also to very much take whatever steps needed to grow the business. And it definitely won't be all as easy as maybe some may think.
Sure. No, I love this concept of getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's something I value and apply in my own life as well. Let's shift the conversation, if we can, to something you've talked to me about in the past that you've really embraced, are mentors. And how are you, I guess, where did that come from? And how are you applying that in your life? Specifically in the business.
Again, when the transition happened in 2016 and I didn't have the formal business background or expectation, now inheriting the family company, the one thing I did feel super comfortable with was relationships and forming and seeking great relationships. And for me, it was just a very simple, I guess, a simple banner on the wall, if we will, that just said, I mean, you know, success leaves clues. And so whatever area it is of success that I'm seeking, go find those that embody that success and seek to learn from them in a very genuine way. And I mean, definitely one principle I've taken away largely, which has been seek to give before you get. I think a lot of times people come into these relationships and they just look to take, take, take. And so for me, you know, I've just been intentional, for one, about seeking people in areas of life that do embody success that I want to down the road. And then two, not necessarily going up to them or seeking them out and just looking to take right away, but rather offering, you know, whether it's just is my time and effort and investing into them at no cost whatsoever, other than just being around them and looking to learn whatever it is that wisdom or lessons that they may be able to impart onto me. And I'm able to then apply to my specific situation and then looking forward. But I would strongly, strongly recommend that everybody, you know, it's been just the most amazing experience for myself, finding mentors and personal advisors in each pillar of life. And I would just strongly encourage that and, yeah, recommend that for others. It's been made the world a difference.
Now, look, I love what you shared there about giving first. It sounds like sage advice. It never gets old. Let's hypothetically say I'm an entrepreneur, young, old, it doesn't matter, but I'm looking around to try and find mentors. How do I go about doing that? How have you gone about doing that?
I've maybe followed some untraditional paths in certain regards. You know, just I think I'm a pure example of someone that will never turn down a wonderful opportunity to have a conversation, no matter who it is. And I would encourage others that, or more so, I would just put it out there that you never know who you're talking to. And so naturally, I mean, for those that strike up good, genuine conversations and actually care about the other person's story and background and, you know, genuinely look to make a connection, the opportunities are endless. And then maybe in a more intentional way, like I said, I mean, identify where you want to be down the road and who it is that embodies that type of success, and then seek them out and look to give before you get. And I mean, naturally, there's a lot of people out there that probably do embody the level of success that you may seek in a specific area of life. So, you know, just keep going.
That's great.
Endurance.
Well, look, we call this the ripcord moment because I'm the believer that owners spend so much time getting ready to make that jump. And when they've got to have that piece of equipment, that ripcord to open the chute when they make the jump, it cannot fail. And so what would be your two pieces of advice to owners to ensure that they are ready for their ripcord moment and can hit their perfect landing?
Yeah, for one, I'd go back to what we touched on earlier and, really encourage that owners build out, not only ensure that systems and processes are developing, but also, make sure that the company, the firm is adhering to these systems and processes that are repeatable, that are transferable, that really, more than anything, are developing the foundation of the firm's enterprise value. Because in the context of the ripcord moment, if an investor or an investment group comes in and wants to acquire this company, I mean, they're going to seek to buy that enterprise value, because unfortunately, as much as they may like the founder, and a lot of times I'm sure that's, a leading cause or factor, that just isn't forever. And so they want to make sure that the business has established firm, sustainable enterprise value, and, understand that that can easily be transferable generations to come. And then two, I'd go back to just what we spoke about with surround yourself with your personal board of advisors, mentors, just people that, again, have accomplished a level of success and now are willing to give back some of that, whether it's in the form of conversations, advice, or actual efforts within the company, whatever it may be. But definitely surround yourself with people that, of course, are smarter than you, and just create a really good, wonderful, admirable, an inviting culture and environment that not only encourages yourself to do the best that you can, but also builds that culture within the firm and promotes the highest level of success.
It sounds like you took a lot away from team sports with that saying, which I love. We'll go ahead and wrap it up, Alec. And thanks again for being with us. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way they can reach out to you?
Just first and last name on the professional side, LinkedIn's probably great for that. It's just at Alec Eichert. And, for, I guess, the adventures and the ultra running and mountain climbing and stuff, Instagram's a good avenue for that, which is, again, at my first and last name.
Alec, thanks for taking the time to be with us. Thank you for listening to the Ripcord Moment. If you'd like to connect, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn or on email at jc2@mortoncapital.com. The information presented is for discussion and illustrative purposes only. The views and opinions expressed by the speakers are as of the date of the recording and subject to change. These views should not be relied on for financial, tax, or legal advice. You should consult with your attorney, financial professional, or accountant before implementing any strategies or transactions concerning your finances. Morton Capital is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Assets under management data is as of 12/31/2019. The views expressed herein should not be relied on as investment advice and are not intended as a recommendation to buy or sell any type of security. There's risk of loss investing in securities, including loss of principal. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.